sermon series, and the title of it is A Generous Heart. I hope that you've been able to pick up the message notes, the sermon notes. If you haven't got any yet, please wave at us. And some very kind people, here we go, we've got some people here. Keep your hands up and we'll give you those sermon notes for you to fill in. We have Korean and English ones as well. And so for 2 weeks, I'd like us to think and talk and go into God's Word and discover some truths about this subject, a generous heart. Here is our key Bible quote. It's taken from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you are a fan of the Amplified Bible, which my wife is, then you will be familiar, I'm sure, with this scripture that reads like this. For God loves, he takes pleasure in, he prizes above other things, and is unwilling to abandon or do without a cheerful, joyous, prompt to do it giver whose heart is in his giving. If I was looking for a definition of a generous heart, that would be the verse that I would go to. That would be my definition. And the Bible says, we could summarize it this way, God loves a generous heart. And you know, I believe that for every person that professes to be a follower of Jesus, for every person that is a Christian, this will be one of the characteristics about them that defines and proves that they are indeed a follower of Jesus. Now, that is a big statement. And if you do not feel that you have a generous heart, that could be a statement that you could find quite offensive. But I want us this morning to go into God's Word, and I want to show you why I believe that. You see, I believe that God is much more than just a generous God. I believe that God is generosity. We might say that God loves us a whole load. But actually, the Bible says that God is much more than that. The Bible says that God is love. We might say that God gives us peace in our hearts, and he does, if we receive it from him. But the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Peace. And when we think about God and how generous he is, it is true. He is generous. But he is generous because he actually is generosity. He is love. He is peace. He is forgiveness. And the amazing thing about God is that he is all of these things at the same time in perfection. That's mind-blowing. You have not met anybody, not even your husband or your wife, who is perfect in all ways. Not even your father or your mother. Not even your boss. Not even your employees. But God is perfect in every way, all of the time. And so when we think about God being generosity, what is the evidence of that? On your notes, you will see that there are just a few points that prove that God is not just generous, but he is actually generosity. Think about creation. In Genesis 1 verse 28, the Bible says that God spoke to man whom he had created. And he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. In other words, God says, hey, look, guys, look at this world. Look at creation. It is perfect, and I'm giving it to you. I would say that's generous. Most of us, when we create something, we at least like to keep shares in it. We like to keep a claim to it, but God made it in perfection and gave it away, even though he knew men would mess it up. Think about that. Think about that, parents. Your children are growing up. Your daughter comes home one night and says, Mom, Dad, I found the man that I think God wants me to marry. And you say, well, I'd like to meet him. Fair enough. You meet him, and he is not what you expected. Are you going to give your daughter? Are you going, husband, father, to walk up that aisle and give the hand of your daughter to this person who is nothing like you? Of course, you are perfect. You're the perfect husband. Isn't that right? And you're looking for somebody just like you. And he doesn't match up to your expectations. Will you give your daughter? That puts into context a little bit of the creation that God created and then put into the hands of man who was not only imperfect, but whom he knew would mess it up. That's generosity. Think about salvation. The Bible says in John 3 and verse 16 that God was so generous with his love that he gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look, God did not give his Son only to those who would believe. He gave his Son to all of humanity. The sad fact is, at this moment in time, the majority of humanity still does not believe in his Son, Jesus Christ. Yet the generosity of God was so great that he still gave him. I hope a picture is forming. Think about the gift of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, verse 39, Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He went on to say, not only you who believe, but your children who believe, and their children who believe, and anyone who is afar off. My friends, God gives to every believer the gift of the Holy Spirit. He takes the holiness of himself in his spirit, and through his generosity, he places him within an imperfect being called man. That's generosity. In Ephesians 1 verse 3, Paul says, blessed be the God and Father of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every, not some, not most, not even the best, but every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. My friend, as a Christian this morning, you are blessed beyond measure. Thank you. It is true. We sometimes don't feel it. Sometimes our emotions or the circumstances of life, we allow them to cause us to feel less than blessed. And we look at other people and we say, well, they are blessed. You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And the list goes on. We could think about God's forgiveness. We could think about his protection over our lives. We could think about the provision that he makes for us. We could think about the amazing grace, the unending love. We could think about the eternity in heaven. All of these things, my friend, demonstrate the generosity of God. He is generosity. Let's move on to our next point, which is this, that we can be partakers of God's nature. As Christians, the Bible clearly states that we can partake of the nature of God. Sometimes I have heard in prayer meetings people say, oh God, let the spirit of Elijah fall in my life. Let the spirit of David. I think to myself, why would you want the spirit of Elijah and the spirit of David when you can have the spirit of God? I understand what the prayer is about. I do. But why would we want to partake in the nature of another person when we can partake of the nature of God? Why go for second best when God has provided the very best? Let me take you to this scripture in 2 Peter and chapter 1. Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness or godlikeness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My friend, as Christians, this is what God has made available for you and me today, right now, to live in. Not some hope for the future, not something that we can reminisce of our forefathers who lived in this place, but my friend, it's for you and me today to be partakers of the divine nature of God. In other words, God living in us, God living through us. And so in the context of our topic, the generosity of God being seen in us and through us. My friends, this is the truth. As God is generosity, so can we be. Because it is in the divine nature of God, and we are invited to be partakers of that divine nature. Some of you may be sitting there thinking, Pastor John, I'm quite happy being not generous. I quite like holding on to what I've got. I tried to be generous once and I lost everything. People took advantage of me. Well, does it not occur to you that people take advantage of God's generosity? And yet, God does not stop that flow from his heart, from his nature. And I would like to suggest this, that if that is the nature and the response of God, then it can be and it should be the response of our hearts, that we partake of his nature and we reveal his nature. You know, my friends, if there are people around you who do not know God yet, you could be the only opportunity that they have to see the divine nature. And so we are able to be partakers. Go back one verse. It says, as his divine power has given to us all things. Say all things. That pertain to life and godliness, God likeness. God does not just expect us to be able to be like himself. The Bible says he has given us everything, all things that we need in order to demonstrate that God-likeness. We have been fully equipped. We are not like a car that looks beautiful on the outside, that has an incredibly powerful engine, but no gas in the tank. We are fully loaded. The tank is full. When we became Christians, God gave us all of himself. What we need to do is to unlock that nature and allow God to be who he is through us. In the terms of generosity, that we be that generosity to people around us. So we can be partakers of God's nature. Romans 8 verse 29 says, "For whom God foreknew, he also predestined or pre-planned that they should be conformed into the image of his son." When you became a Christian, what was God's plan for you? Here is a clue. God's plan was that you was conformed into the image of his son. As Jesus is, so are we. We are the body of Jesus Christ on earth today. This is the plan of God. And so in the context of our topic of generosity, it could be that through these messages, God is conforming us into the image of his son so that we can display the generous heart of God. In Galatians 2 verse 20, Paul says, "I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh by faith in the Son of God who loved me and demonstrated generosity." How? Because he gave himself for me. God wants us to be made and conformed into the likeness of Jesus. What is the likeness of Jesus? It's exactly the same as the likeness of God. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And Jesus generously laid down his life. He died that we might live. Amen. Now, when you first picked up your notes this morning, and you read on the top of the paper, "a generous heart," I don't ask you to put your hands up, but I just wonder how many of you had this little thought: money. I guess a number of you did. I'm not asking you to put your hands up. Usually when we think about generosity, our automatic reaction is to think about money. The next reaction is that we check that our wallet is still in our pocket and we keep our hands on it. I'm joking, of course. It's amazing that this topic of generosity almost without fail causes us to think about finances. I wonder why that is. Maybe it is because God needs to work that part of his nature in us. Maybe if we were gut honest this morning, we are not demonstrating this aspect of God's nature through our lives. And why would that be? Well, maybe we have been hurt. Maybe we have been abused. Maybe we have misunderstood or been mistaught what generosity is. Maybe we've been sitting in churches long enough that we've heard so many sermons on how God wants us to give him all our money that we've closed down that generous aspect of our hearts and the nature of God. And so this question comes: when we think about generosity, are we going to talk a lot about giving money? The title of our sermon is this, A Generous Heart. We will talk about giving money. We will talk about tithes. We will talk about offering. We'll talk about them from a biblical perspective. But those topics must be laid upon a foundation of truth concerning a generous heart. Our key scripture said this, that God loves a generous, cheerful, joyous, prompt to do giver whose heart is in his giving. That's what God is looking for. Not someone who grudgingly gives love. I was in a meeting once, and the pastor was preaching on love, and he said, it is not an emotion. It is something that we choose to do. I agree. He said, I can remember once looking at somebody who I didn't like, and I thought to myself, I don't like you. In fact, I hate you. But because God said so, I've got to love you. I'm going to love you. Is that the way God wants us to be on the inside? Is that the way he wants us to be with how we give our time, how we give our love, how we give our forgiveness, how we give our heart, how we give our finances? No, God wants us to have his nature. But it will embrace and it will cover the topic of giving. I've put a verse from God's word on your notes, which you've probably heard many times. It goes like this, give and it will be given to you. Hands up if you've read or heard this verse before. There's no catch, so you can just be honest. I'm not going to catch you out. Yeah? Give and it will be given unto you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together, running over, will it be poured into your lap? For with the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. Luke 6:38. How many of you have heard that scripture in the context of giving money? Yeah. How many of you have ever taken the time to read that verse in your Bible and find what context it's in? If you haven't, I'm going to help you. Your next verse gives you the context. For verse 37 says this, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. What is the context? Is it money? What Paul is saying here is, Jesus is saying here in Luke 6 is this. To the measure that you judge other people and you condemn other people, or you forgive them, that's what will come back to you. It is a principle. It is a principle that as we sow, so we will reap. As a man sows, so he will reap. It is a godly principle. How do you prove it? You take some wheat seed and you put it in some fertile soil. You sow it and you'll see that it will create a harvest for you to reap. The principle is true concerning anything that we give, not just money. But in the context of this verse, which is not talking about generosity here or God's generosity, Jesus says, now, if you don't want to be judged by other people, don't go around judging them. If you don't want people to condemn you, then don't go around condemning them. If you would like to be forgiven, then the best thing you can do is forgive other people. Now, where is the teaching of Christ on generosity? As far as Jesus is concerned, what is real generosity? To find the answer to that, you just have to go back a few verses in Luke chapter 6. Let me read to you from verse 27. Jesus said these words, but I say to you who hear, are you listening? Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask for them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. This is strong talk here. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners, those who do not believe in God, they do the same. You see, it's not demonstrating God's nature when we simply love those who love us. And Jesus would say, it is not demonstrating generosity when you give in order to get back. But Jesus said, generosity is when you give to those who hate you. You forgive them. If they smite you on the cheek, you turn the other one. You say, Pastor John, do you mean literally? If needs be. Some years ago, we had had a service, and I was with a man who was trying to, who I was trying to help understand some principles of God. He was just being unwise, and in love, I was trying to help him to see what God would have him to do. And sadly, he got really, really upset. And he felt that it was necessary to headbutt me. And large as my nose is already, it got even larger and quite bloody. What do you do in a time like that when somebody has vented their anger on you? You've tried to help them. You're trying to see, help them see what God says, and they headbutt you in the face. Well, you don't have two faces, so you can't, well, you shouldn't have, so you can't turn the other one. I'll tell you what the grace of God enabled me to do. I just stepped back. I said, I'm really sorry that you feel that way. And I booked him a taxi and paid for his taxi to go home. A few days later, he called me and he wrote me a letter and he said, Pastor John, can we get together and talk? I said, of course we can. So we arranged to get together and talk. And he came into that room and he was weeping. And he said, Pastor John, please will you forgive me? I said, already forgiven, but so that you hear it, I forgive you. I forgive you. You know, when we came to move from England to South Korea, of course you go through the process of saying goodbye to people. And I knew this would be the last Sunday that I would see him. And so I went up to him and I shook his hand and I said, I really love you. It's been great to have some time to get to know you. God bless you. And the man was just crying. And he said, I'm going to miss you. A year or so ago, he actually died and went to heaven. And one of the people that we knew so well and knew him so well said that he died with such peace in his heart. All the anger had gone and God's peace was reigning. You see, there's a reason why God wants to demonstrate his generosity through us, because the people that we meet are hurting, screwed up on the inside, believing the lies of Satan. And as I said earlier, sometimes we as Christians are the only opportunities that some people have of experiencing the nature of God. I could have thumped him. He was older than me. I could have laid him out. But who's to know what that would do? It would do no good. It's like pouring gas on a fire. When we are sinned against, we need to be like Christ and just let that generosity of heart, of love, of forgiveness pour out of us. And like when there's a fire and you get one of these fire foam extinguishers, you know what I mean? That sprays foam on the fire. It starves the fire of oxygen. My friends, as Christians, that's how we need to be in our lives. When sin comes against us, we need to respond with the divine nature of God so that that sin is starved of any fuel and it stops with us. And so generosity, Jesus said, it's not about giving to those that love you. It's not about giving to those who give to you. It's not about giving so that you get back. It's about giving to those who are messed up, screwed up, hurting on the inside, who don't know God. Those that would see you as their enemy, those that hate you, those that curse you. I want you to love them. I want you to bless them. Does this sound a little bit like God to you? Does it sound like Jesus Christ to you? It's supposed to, because that is the nature that we need to embrace and let God perfect through us. So Jesus said in verse 35, love your enemies. This is generosity. This is a heart of generosity. Love your enemies, do good, lend, hoping for nothing in return. Here we go, guys. I'm going to help you now, husbands. Try to love your wives with no agenda. Try blessing them in the home, helping them around the house. Yes, buy them a gift, but don't have some hidden agenda. I don't need to spell it out. You know what I'm talking about. Love them, love your wives, as Christ loved the church and did what? Gave. Isn't it interesting that the wives know how to answer that question and not the husbands? And gave himself for her, expecting nothing in return. My friends, this is a generous heart. Some of you are thinking, what about sowing and reaping? What about giving and seeing God bless that in return? Well, if you're that interested, then you'll come back next week because we'll talk about it next week. But what we're dealing with right now is a generous heart and a heart that gives with no expectation of getting anything in return. Most of you guys know what I'm talking about. Most of you guys have tried to love your wives, in inverted commas, with a hope that something is at the end of it. And when it doesn't come, you're the most miserable people in the world. And quite honestly, we deserve to be. Because that's not love. That's not generosity. That's selfishness. Went very quiet, Pastor Jack, in this church right then. It is true. When we give to get, it just demonstrates our old selfish nature. When we give, expecting to get nothing back, just to bless the person, that is the nature of God. I'm going to run out whilst the going's good, not. I want to take you very quickly as we close to a story in the Old Testament about David. I've called this a heart-changing realization. If you know the story of David, you know that he had a passion in his heart. He wanted to build a house for the Lord. He said it wasn't right that God and his presence should just move around in a tent. And he wanted to build a house that God could dwell in. Incidentally, it wasn't given for him to do. It was given to his son Solomon. But what was given to David was to raise the funds, to raise the collateral for his son to be able to build this house, this temple. And so he sends word out to the people of Israel what his plan is. He says, we want to build a house for God. And we don't want to just build some disposable, throwaway place. This wants to be the best of the best. So bring in the materials. And the people began to bring in the materials. I know pastors who have spoken to me and said, you know, Pastor John, I wish I could stand up like David did and do an offering message and see people bring like the people of Israel did. And I thought, well, maybe Pastor, we all need to have a generous heart. It needs to start with the pastor, maybe. But this is what David did. He just sent the word out. He sent emails out. He put a message on Facebook. He put an ad in the newspaper. He even bought some time on the TV station. And he got the word out to the people that a house for God was going to be built, and he needed people to come and contribute. And if you read the story, you find that the people responded incredibly, to the point where David had to stop them because he had too much. And his thanks for God, in his declaration of praise to God for what had happened, he said this in 1 Chronicles 20. Read the story for yourself. It's an incredible story. 1 Chronicles 29, 14. He said to the Lord, "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this?" He was astounded at what came from the people. Shocked. Couldn't comprehend it. He said, "Who are we? Who are we that we should be able to give as generously as this?" Then he makes a phenomenal statement. "Everything comes from you, and we have given to you only what comes from your hand." I would say, my friend, if you're struggling with generosity this morning, if whenever an offering is spoken about, you kind of catch your breath and it triggers negative thoughts in you, or if when somebody calls up and says, "Do you think you could help me, please?" your brain spins at a million miles an hour trying to think of a reason why you can't. If somebody calls up and asks, "Can I borrow something from you?" you suddenly come up with a task that equipment needs so that you can't lend it. Those are all ways in which we can demonstrate that the nature of God is not foremost in our hearts. And if that is the case this morning, I would suggest that this is one of the greatest remedies. Not that you force yourself to be generous. Remember, God loves a cheerful giver, a joyous giver. Can't wait to do it. And that comes out of the heart first. I would suggest that you recognize this. Everything and anything that you have that's of any value whatsoever is not actually yours. You're just stewards. You're just looking after it. And if your bank balance is really healthy right now, you may think, "Well, I have worked really hard. I have saved all this money up. It is mine." Jesus told a story about a farmer who said the same about his crops and his harvest. He said, "Now I'm going to eat and drink, and I'm going to be merry and celebrate. I'm going to be selfish." And the Lord required all of that of him on that day. What we have is actually not ours. It belongs to God. It came from him. He's asking us just to look after it, to manage it. And sometimes that may be we do need to save it. But we must always be in a place where if God says, "I want you to give it," we understand that everything that we have is not ours anyhow. It belongs to him. And that helps us. It helps us to release those things that we hold on to. It helps us to become generous, not unthoughtful or irresponsible, but to become generous with those things that sometimes are very precious to us. So when that young man comes home to you guys and says to you that he'd like to marry your daughter, of course you exercise great wisdom. You make sure that he's a born-again believer. You check that he's sold out for Christ and that he loves you at least as much. He loves your daughter at least as much as you do. But then you're able to release. You're able to release. And when there's somebody that you find out is in need and you have the means by which that need can be met, God doesn't have to shout at you, cause lightning and thunder to to erupt around you. He can just put a thought in your heart, I could help that person. Next week, we're going to look how the early church were generous. As a little insight, read chapter 2 and chapter 4 of Acts, and you'll find that the Bible says they had all things in common. And if there was any that had any need, those that had would sell so that they could bring the money that they had sold their goods for and lay it at the pastors, the apostles' feet, and that those funds would be distributed. You see, they had captured something of the nature of God that had allowed them to be generous. And I want to encourage you with this. There is such a blessing that comes when God uses you, whether it's giving time, forgiveness, energy, your abilities, your skills, your home, your gifts, your talents, your money, whatever it is. There is such a blessing that comes into our hearts when God is able to use us and to demonstrate his generosity. Amen? Okay, let's stand together, please. We're going to pray right now, then we're going to sing one more song together. Come next week, come and get part two of A Generous Heart. You've got the left side, you're going to get the right side next week. Get the complete heart, don't stay away. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your generosity. We are here, and we are what we are, and we are who we are, purely because of your generous love that knows no bounds, knows no measure, no limitations. Father, your word says to us today that you have already given to us everything that we need pertaining to a God-like life. You've blessed us with every spiritual blessing. You have given us your Holy Spirit. You have filled us with yourself. Father, as Christians, we are not people trying to be someone, trying to be different. We simply let you be who you want to be in and through us. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you this morning and you need to surrender and submit yourself to the Lord. Could be that you've never ever given your life to him. You've never received his forgiveness. Then now would be the time for you to do that. To humbly before him receive forgiveness for your sin and receive all of the goodness of God. Let God speak into your heart. Let him work this work. Let him develop within you his nature, his likeness, who he really is, what he is really like. If people are looking to know and find out what God is like, have this desire within us that they need look no further than us. Father, as we thank you for your generosity towards us, as we thank you that you have given us your Holy Spirit, Father, we pray that you would work this in us, that those things which have been obstacles and barriers preventing us, they have become excuses and reasons why we have closed our hearts. Lord, we give them to you right now. In Jesus' name, amen.